This is Katie Bacchus, writer of episode 617, The Third Estate. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
I sure hope that letter I'm tracking shows up at the post office today. Welcome to the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. Do you want to play a game? Connection. Get that? All right. Thanks for joining us once again as we discuss number 136 on The Blacklist this week, The Third Estate, written by Katie Bacchus and directed by Andrew McCarthy. Aw. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. Andrew McCarthy. I did not notice that when I was watching the episode.
Yeah, it goes by fast. You got to catch it real quick.
I was so focused, man. Laser focused. We just honed in.
And we met Andrew McCarthy when we were on set that one time.
We did. He is delightful.
He was nice. Nice guy.
My favorite part was he said, "Hi, guys. I'm Andrew McCarthy." And I'm like, "Of course you are."
You're in your brain, you're like, "Of course we are." And then you're like, "Yes, Mr. McCarthy. Nice to meet you."
Pretty funny. Nice guy.
It was fun. All right. On this episode, we'll cover off on our profiling question from last week with thoughts from all of you. We'll dig deep into this week's case profile and then hear what you all thought in Special Agent Intel. Plus, it's the return of Red's Rhetoric this week, people. That's right.
What? What happened?
Thanks to all of you that are supporting the show on Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. We hit our first goal. That's right. Making $250 a month. Thanks so much for helping us out. Now, if just 400 of you out there can help fill the fedora at just $2 a month, we'll meet our next goal. Or even better, if you do $5 a month, we'll actually do our final big goal, which is to do a watch party in New York City. That's right. So 400 of you can throw $2 or $5 in the hat. That's less than the new Disney Plus service. That's way less than the new Netflix prices.
That's funny.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. It really does help the show, and we appreciate every single one of you.
So can I ask a question? Because I don't understand. If we dip down now, if like a bunch of people just bail on us because they stop loving, or I say something dumb, probably is more likely what'll happen. Does that mean it goes off again? Do we kick it off again or what?
You never know. You never know. Just keep
filling the fedora. I get it. All right. With that, let's see how you all answered last week's profiling question. Do you think Katarina's mom is still alive? 1% said no. And which, by the way, this is Tim Curry birthday week, and that's the only way you ever say no. 99% of you said yes. Ooh.
Ah.
Guess we're in the top 1%, Troy.
I guess I was. This is what it feels like to be royalty.
Rich is all right. I like it. I'm a big fan. I'm not rich.
Those weren't the real numbers, though.
No. I was actually, I would actually be in the 99% because I assume she was still alive. So if she is, I'm going to be stunned.
Just because the CIA case profile on you doesn't mean you're actually alive.
Just proof that the government doesn't do great investigative work.
That's because they're an intelligence agency. They're not the investigative agency.
Well, they definitely don't ask questions. Maybe if they asked a few more questions, maybe, Wrestler, if you would have asked this stuff ahead of time, you would have known she did.
That's right. And you wouldn't have ruined that poor guy's life. Like, I had all these great memories.
That's what I thought, too. Like, you just destroyed this 80-year-old dude.
It's bad enough his wife died from cancer. And I was, I guess I really didn't know who she was at all.
Hey, thanks for stopping by, guy, and destroying everything I hold dear that I have left in my life. I appreciate that.
Next thing you know, he's going to stand up and like smash all those photos on his fireplace mantle.
Dude should have totally just made his hair move. Just like gone up and just start messing it up. I'll show you.
Seriously, though, 85% of you did think that she was alive and 15% of you said no, she was not.
15% of you said what?
No.
There you go. Thank you. All right. Next week's profiling question. Will Red find out who turned him in? I'm kind of wondering if he's going to find out or if he's just going to... Well, he's not going to abandon the quest, right?
Oh, he'll never abandon the quest. That's laser focus. Always.
Can I tell you something I think would be funny?
Sure.
I think it would be great if he doesn't find out and he knows Liz might know who the person is that turned him in and she just refuses to ever, ever tell him anything.
I feel some soliloquy going on here.
I just feel like this would be poetic in a way.
Oh my gosh.
Let's do that. Let's just, I think that would be amazing. She's like, no, quid pro quo, you first.
I'm keeping it a secret because it actually betters your life for not knowing.
I'm doing it to protect you, sucker.
Oh my gosh. Thanks all to answer the profiling question this week. Now, before our kids extort us for money, let's dig into this week's case profile.
Can we all agree that's what kids do anyway? I mean, that's just part of having them. All right. Well, we start the show with Saw. I didn't know we were going to do a spinoff, but we got one. Poor Zoe has been kidnapped by a cheap paper mache jigsaw, apparently. They want her rich daddy's millions to redistribute to those in need. And once he plays the game, Jacob finally does get his daughter back. So basically, the arc of the Third Estate, what they do is they kidnap a teenager, ransom them, get the money, and find a way to distribute it to the underprivileged, the 99%. Because, you know, was it like 36% or what was it, like 8 billionaires have all, like, most of the wealth in the world or something like that? I forgot what the statistic was already.
Right. It was a lot of people have a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And we're poor. That's what that was the point that was being made. We're all on the poor side.
So the only question I had coming out of the episode, though, was, did they actually distribute the money to the poor, or was it going to the dude that was laying in the bed that got two bullets on each side of his pillow? It's a really nice pillow, by the way. Does it go to that guy and then he does criminal things with it, or did the money actually get distributed to the poor? That's what I want to know.
I don't know if it was clarified, but I believe that's what the plan was to distribute to the poor. Maybe he just handled it. I never really got a good handle on what his job was. Like, what does he do with it?
Right. It was just the MacGuffin to say, ugh, Anna McMahon played you. Sorry.
Yeah, pretty much. And I got to tell you, called this one as soon as it started. Got this one. This is where being an excessive TV watcher always works against you. I'm like, I bet you the kids are in on it, especially when they kill the Foy kid because it looked fake. If I was with the FBI, I'd be like, yeah, that looks like a squid. That doesn't look like a gunshot. Come on.
I texted Aaron and I was like, holy crap, is it 9 o'clock again? Because they blew away that kid pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it was intentional to make it look as bad as it was.
It was good. All right. So a top advisor, Anna McMahon, is orchestrating a plot against the U.S. We know that, but we don't know what the plot is. And we think is using the Third Estate to orchestrate it.
Not.
That's a lie. Do you feel like a sucker?
I totally do.
Yeah.
I'm like, Third Estate, we're going to get some answers this week. Yeah. Damn it.
Okay, so the plan, like I said, kidnapping rich kids, blackmail their parents, that's the MO. And Des Foy, he gets kidnapped and his dad's going to go on Mel Gibson and refuse to pay the ransom because he wants his kid back, so he's going to not pay the ransom. And he doesn't want to encourage further kidnappings because, you know, doing the right thing is the most important thing to a billionaire. Right.
Right.
Have a hard time buying that. And that, yes, if anybody's wondering, that was John Boy. The Waltons? Nobody?
The Waltons. Yes, the Waltons. I was just thinking that because it is Tim Curry's birthday week, that he was like, hey, that's the guy from It, the miniseries.
That's another way to do it. But I would say his most famous role is John Boy. Anyway, yes. Mr. Foy ended up working with the FBI, and there was a pretty elusive setup that ultimately failed with the black Mercedes who was supposed to get into that took off, and Mr. Foy watching as his son was killed on an app. Which basically means, I guess, he's not going to see his son again. He's going to go off and work for the Third Estate forever, right?
Yeah, I would assume so, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this, and we're going, if you've never listened before, we go over the basic arc of the story, and then we break it down by characters. Lastly, the torture device is the lead, and when Foy's friend's kid is kidnapped, he, of course, tells him not to work with the FBI, and really adamant about it, because, you know, he likes playing with other people's kids' lives. That's interesting. Aram finds out the truth is the kids of the Third Estate, because what happens is Aram has a brilliant idea. He goes and gets himself caught 5 seconds after he starts his brilliant idea. Nice job, Aram. This is where Samar would have came in handy.
Yeah, because he got smashed in the head pretty good.
He did. He got clocked. But he finds out the kids of the Third Estate, he's really trying to bring them in safely. And it backfires. And of course, one of the children ends up dying. The kids were manipulating their parents. And what happens is, well, I'll talk about what happened when we get to Anna McMahon, but ultimately one of the kid dies. They bring him down. They catch Foy. They want to get him to talk. And it looks like he did, because that's how Red got to Pillow Man, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Who I thought originally when that happened, I kind of thought that was Maxwell Ruddiger we were getting to, right? But it's not.
That's not.
It was the guy who ran the Third Estate.
Because Aaron doesn't remember anything on the show.
What are you talking about?
I'm like, dude, Ruddiger was just in the episode 2 weeks ago. He's the bomb expert.
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was the opera scene with...
See, this is why you're here.
Yep, this is why I bring the knowledge. Aaron just brings the information and the funny.
Do you have any idea how busy my month and a half has been? I don't remember who I am, let alone who Max Ruddiger is.
Maybe you had a memory wipe done on you.
Well, I definitely am not going to get the answers by asking questions. We don't do that here. All right. Sorry. What did you think about this episode, Troy? What do you think about the Third Estate? This whole plot.
I like the concept. I like how it tied into the French Revolution. And then we had the Marie Antoinette story while Red's driving the Mercedes. So how it all ties together from a historical perspective, I thought was very interesting. At the same time, man, when we found out that Anna McMahon just completely duped us, just like she duped the task force, I was kind of pissed off, to be quite honest. I was super excited, like, yes, we're going to have some fun. And this is all it's about, just some spoiled rich kids that want more money. Screw that. They deserve to die.
I don't know about spoiled rich kids that want money. It seems like they want to get the money to do things for people that don't have money.
So they say.
That's what they say, but I mean, I wasn't left with anything to indicate otherwise. So I can respect the plight, I guess. But they're your parents. Can't you just like steal it? Can't you just embezzle it like a regular person?
Yeah, can't you just be like, hey, I want $300,000 to go to the mall.
Yeah, and then just keep putting it away, and give that money to the underprivileged. There you go. Sell your race car, your sports car, sell all the fancy stuff you have, and go help people. It's not that hard to do, man.
I mean, the big thing I loved about this episode was the time travel. I mean, it was like wormholes everywhere in the United States for wrestler to get back and forth from Illinois to D.C. That's super fast travel.
Well, I mean, you have to flight. O'Hare's right there, you know?
It's still 2 hours over to the East Coast.
He's getting work done on the plane. That's what's going on. He's doing all his research on the plane. And that's why I didn't know the lady was dead, because he didn't have time to do real investigation.
Well, yeah, because he was on the plane traveling.
Mm-hmm. He's busy. He's going through TSA, all that jive. Takes a while.
For the record, though, Aaron and I have been to St. Charles, Illinois.
I'm sure everybody listening is like, ooh.
Because we actually did investigative work.
So exciting. that was the episode. I enjoyed the plot. I actually thought it was a fun plot, even though I did call it like right at the beginning. It felt like that kind of plot, which the only thing that bums me about that is I really like the idea of the government is actually going after the top 1% because of maybe they have an ulterior motive that's nefarious, but also they have good intentions. You know what I mean? That's what I was hoping for. Maybe we actually have a conspiracy that's for the 99% as opposed to always for the 1%. And now I'm kind of bummed because it's probably not what it's going to be.
And I watched Hamilton this week for the first time, the musical.
I'm waiting to see how this connects.
Well, because Hamilton's the one that actually started up the banks. And so you have the founding fathers versus Hamilton. And then Hamilton never becomes president because they hate him because of everything that he did, even though the banking system was awesome back in the day. But truly, the banking system is what's ruining the country because it's all about corporate greed versus truly what America stood for originally. So I really love that concept about trying to take back democracy from the banks and the corporate overlords, if you will.
This is a fan expectation problem. It's not the show problem. It's my fan expectation problem.
Always.
Definitely not always. I've got legitimate stuff. I really, really like the idea of the Third Estate, and I really wanted to see that play out as, like I said, like a government conspiracy, but for good intentions. I really, for once, I just wanted a conspiracy in a TV show to not be selfish and self-motivated. I kind of wanted to, all right. So we have more of a struggle as to who to root for. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of but that's, like I said, expectation and a hope thing on my part. It's not the show's fault.
We're missing a good classic Robin Hood story.
Yes. I love a good Robin Hood story, but Nottingham was kind of a dig. All right, so let's go to the character, starting with music.
All right, only one song this week officially, although would have loved to get my hands on those driving jams that were in the Mercedes-Benz. That was a cool track. Also, kind of would have been fun to have a little Kim Wilde this week, don't you think?
Kim Wilde?
Yeah. We're the kids in America. Whoa.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, as the kids are found out, Tyler is shot.
Old. You're so old.
Come on. It's not that old of a song. She put out a new album recently, you know.
I didn't know. Even her mom probably doesn't even know that. How'd you know that?
I was watching BBC interviews.
That's nice.
There you go. Anyway, as the kids are found out, Tyler is shot and Dez is taken out in handcuffs in front of his father. We hear "The War" by Syml, I believe it is. S-Y-M-L. All capital letters.
I like that song.
It was good. It was good. And I love the you're talking about the spot-onness of last week's music. The War was, of course, the lady who was Tyler's mom. And she's like, we sent two kids to war and fighting that enemy is even harder than you guys do your jobs, and it should be easy to find these guys. So the tie-in there was kind of nice. Anyways, you can find those playlists over on theblacklistexposed.com. One for Spotify, one for Apple. They're all there. Enjoy and check out more of The War.
Now I move on to characters, or the actual characters, and we start with Anna. Anna McMahon. She's scared. Why is Red poking the bear already? Did you wonder that throughout the episode? Like, why is he already throwing it at her? Because he knows she's gonna know. Everybody knows that she'll know that he's onto him now, onto her now.
I was like, Anna, come on, we only got 7 episodes left. That's why he's poking the bear.
Gotta get there, gotta go. Well, the fate of the country hangs in the balance as she tells the president's thug, what's his official title?
I assume he was the Secret Service guy when I initially saw him, but I'm not sure what his capacity really is.
Okay, well, he's the muscle. That's what he is. He's the muscle.
He's a really bad version of Aaron from 24.
I thought you meant me. I'm like, man, I ain't never shot nobody from across the street that you can prove. Is this good? Is this for the good of the U.S.? She apparently doesn't care about Iran, but is this good for the good of the U.S.? The ultimate plan, do you think? Because she said the fate of the country hangs in the balance.
I don't know, because I still don't know what the plot is to have a real good thought on this.
I know that, but I mean, do you think it's possible that the plan is a good plan? Like, it's meant for good reasons, or just all nefarious all the way?
Well, any plan is a good plan, depending on your point of view.
I'm sure, yeah.
So, the country can't get any worse off than it is now, so yeah, maybe it is a good plan.
Oh, it could, buddy. It could. That's how good we have it. We think it can't get any worse.
Well, no, it can get worse, because they were talking about raising up my property taxes 40% locally here. So,
go take a visit to China exodus. And see what you can do for without being arrested.
That's right.
Make a comment about your government in China. See how well it plays out. You disappear, is what I hear.
That's true. That's true.
Remember that actress that just happened to that actress? She was vocal about her taxes, and then suddenly she disappeared for 6 months or a year or something like that.
All right. Well, then I'm getting out of Cook County as fast as possible today.
All right. So just remember, you guys got it pretty good. Okay. So she doesn't care about anybody. It seems like she doesn't care about Aram, like I said just a second ago. And then she uses Mrs. Whitmore's campaign connections to threaten Cooper, which ultimately gets her son killed. Mrs. Whitmore's son killed. Because she forces the task force to go in when Cooper told her, don't do it. Don't do it. We can still negotiate. And then we ultimately find out she used the Third Estate to throw everybody off. So this is all a red herring for the task force and for Red. So he was duped. How do you feel about that whole thing? And also, I kind of want to throw in there, how do you feel about her duping the task force? And she's obviously cold-blooded, which makes me doubt her intentions are good at all. But also, how do you feel about them duping the audience? Because this has been like a 3, 4, 5 episode arc where we thought this was going somewhere bigger than it has.
All right, so I'll go on three counts here. Count number one, Anna McMahon, super awesome bad guy.
Love her.
Love it.
Love her. Love her.
The fact that she was able to pull this off is amazing. Secondly, the point is, I don't understand. She purposely left that file out for Red and Cooper to find. So she clearly knows that the task force is working against her.
Right.
But she's still going to play the cat and mouse game. That's the part of the storyline that I'm not so thrilled about right now, because it just seems like you're doing it just to drag us along for six more episodes. If you know the other one's working against you, like, let's just have it out and just get it done with and move on to something bigger and better. Which leads to the third point of course, feeling how the audience felt. And I was kind of pissed off this week, to be quite honest. I'm like, oh, that's a really cool story. You know, you got paper mache, jigsaw mask, and people are getting on torture racks and stuff. This is going to be fun. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, just doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day.
Yeah, that was my only disappointment, probably. I really enjoyed this episode. Legitimately, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, standalone TV in a box by itself.
Yep.
Well written, well acted, well directed. Story-wise, over 22 episodes, not so much.
But when you have the conclusion of that big two-hour where Rudd gets out of jail, Third Estate is a big deal. We've talked about it several times on this podcast because it's come up over the last few episodes. And then we finally get there, and there's really nothing. It was all a ruse. I mean, in a way, I like it. I'm of two minds, okay? I guess I was irritated. Snap judgment, I felt like you did. I'm irritated. I just rode along on your train and it was wasted. It was a wasted trip. Upon further reflection, part of me does like the idea that, well, they duped us too, because we thought it was going to be important and it wasn't. And I do like when TV does something that I wasn't expecting and goes against what I'm expecting. So I did like that aspect of it. I just feel like, but what did you sacrifice to get there, you know, for that moment? And I don't feel like it was an earned moment to a degree. So I didn't hate it, but I do wish we would have got a little bit more out of the Third Estate. And we still might, because that kid might have more to say. You know, he's got connections with billionaires. He might know more about the actual plot.
And that's the only reason I think why I'm letting it slide, is because they did build it up enough to take us along for the ride and then pulled the wool out from underneath our rugs. So I think that's cool. The only problem is that they did that in 6.11 and 6.12 with the whole suicide thing and Liz going to the I love you moment. I'm like, okay, if you want me to let you pass on that one, then I'm pissed off about this one. But if I like this one better, then I got to call your stuff out on that one, because this is twice now in one season where you're like, hey, I'm going to give you something, and no.
Troy's getting feisty a little bit.
I got up early this morning.
Speaking of feisty, you know who else is feisty? Harold Cooper.
Love that guy.
He's got balls. He can call me back on FaceTime so I can see the hostages. Doesn't even argue about it. Doesn't talk about it. Doesn't debate it. He's just like, you call me back on FaceTime, bitch. If you want this, I ain't got time for you. And I think that was my highlight of the episode. I love that moment. Go, Harold Cooper.
And we can call out that Apple now supports the show, because they officially used FaceTime. So, hey, call me back on video chat.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
They used the trademark name. I thought that was interesting.
Well, maybe they get a check. I have no idea. Good for them. Whatever it was, I love that moment. And it was nice to see Harold Cooper get to go a little Cooper in the field.
It wasn't as big of a check as Mercedes sent over, but...
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Bink! Unfortunately, that's about all Cooper did this week. So we're going to move on to Aram, which, you know, he uses his tech for leads. What he does, he notices that they have an IR bullet. He doesn't really do much until the second half of the episode. He notices they have these IR bullet cams, which means he can tap into their internal surveillance. He can tap into their feeds, but he has to get to their box, and then he can see what they see. So he poses as a instant cable guy. So apparently they didn't have a cable company that wanted to sponsor the show. And then he gets his cable knocked out and taken hostage, because they figure out rather quickly that he is not who he says he is. And Aram tries to do the right thing here. How'd you feel about Aram getting more screen time yet again than Liz?
I don't think that they found out Aram wasn't who he was. I think there was something else that was going on. They were either tracking a signal or whatever, and that tipped them off that Aram wasn't who he said he was. So it wasn't that Aram didn't do a good enough job. There was some other event that happened that was like, hey, this guy's not on the up and up.
Yeah, I get that. But either way, he was there like 8 minutes and he got busted and he was taken hostage.
It takes a long time to tap into those trunk lines, you know? You got to find the right box, especially if it's like a multi-flat. There's like six boxes. Got to open up each one and figure out which one goes to the right floor.
Great idea. Just probably poor execution.
I do love the progression of the Aram character, though. When you go back to season one and how he's nervous to hold a gun and he doesn't think he can do any of the stuff. And now he's just, I got an idea. I'm going to go in the field and I'm going to go ahead and mess with this box. And, oh, and by the way, I'm going to get myself kidnapped. And then I'm going to go ahead and fix this guy out to get a whole bunch of wire cutters. And then I'm going to stand up and beat the guy's ass. I love his progression.
Disappointed in this respect because this kid didn't look that tough and it took him a little bit to win. I'm like, did you just have like at least a year of field training? Come on, man. Well, you should be kicking somebody. You should be Chuck Norris by now compared to this kid.
He did have the gun still in his hand, so you have to certain maneuvers in order to make sure you don't get shot during the course of the fight.
I'm just saying, a wrestler gets in a fight, he just flips the guy over a bed and he's just got him pinned down with a gun in his face and his hair still hasn't moved. Aram, he looks winded. He's winded. And it's more of a fight. So he does try to trade his life for this kid.
Which is good. I love that.
Yes. And that is Aram. That is a character. I mean, that is something he would do. Let him free. You gotta let him go. You got to let him go. And he keeps saying it and saying it and saying it. And I think the kid was going to do it, even though, or he wasn't going to do it because it would make no sense because the guy is actually in on it. But I do believe that he was getting through to the kid. The kid was like sympathizing with him, like, hey, he's not one of the problem. This isn't one of the guys we're trying to take the war to, whatever their war is.
And this is the one thing about the episode that I was hoping was going to be the twist when you texted me and said, hey, I think I figured it out. When John Boy shows up at the at Tyler's parents' house, I'm like, oh, maybe John Boy is the one that's kind of masterminding the whole thing. And that's why the paper mache masks were involved, because you had to wait for the big reveal that it was John Boy behind the mask. But because as they were kind of zooming in on his face during the Aram sequence, I'm like, is he trying to like talk to him? And he's like reaching out to him almost like, hey, you know, you're an adult. You should let these kids go. That's why I thought it was going to be John Boy. But unfortunately, it was not.
You wanted dad to be behind it?
Yeah, because it just seemed... Like you said, the shooting the kid seems so fake and that it was his kid. So I thought maybe the dad was in on it because he was trying to extort money from the 1% as well. So he could be a richer bitch, if you will.
And if anybody's wondering, his name is Richard Thomas. We just call him John Boy because we
it's
always go by
character.
Because it's a prominent character and it's funnier. He's been around for ages. He's a good actor.
Great actor.
So anyway, we get that moment around, basically flips him, gets a kid caught. They all bust in. Mrs. Whitmore's kid dies. It's
poor
very
Tyler.
Sad.
Poor Tyler.
Yeah, but he raised the gun, you idiot.
Yep, that's exactly right.
I mean, I don't even know what you charge him with. When you kidnap yourself, like, what's the charge? Oh, I guess we could ask Jesse Smollett. Man. See, put the gun down. If you got busted in Chicago, you'd be fine.
Oh my gosh. So much Chicago
joke.
This week.
So much Chicago. That's a Chicago joke. We're from Chicago. It's okay. All right. So this is going to bring me to the next character, and that's Liz. I mentioned this a few minutes ago, and we didn't really talk about it, but I want to bring it up again. Ever since that 2-hour premiere, Liz has barely had any screen time. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, she had some at the execution scenes, but yeah, I mean, it's been a very light, well, because you had Jennifer got added in the mix. So you had to balance the Jennifer stuff out in the first half of the season. And now we're in the back half of the season. It was focused on Aram and Samar. So that takes up time from the screen. But yeah, it seems like she's been, for someone who is like, I'm on a quest to find out who this person is. And then I love you. Now I don't want to do the quest at all. It's almost like, what's the point of the character at this point?
Well, she's a lead, man. She's the female lead of the show, and I feel like she gets less screen time the last 4 weeks. How many weeks has it been? 3 weeks? Since that 2 hours?
Since the 2 hour the execution scene?
Three episodes? Three or four?
Yeah, three or four.
And she's barely had any screen time. It's all been very rudimentary. So it's kind of bummed me out a little bit. I'm a big fan of that character. I'm like, give her more to do, and I'm sure she has more stuff coming up, but I just don't get why she, I mean, I get why with those episodes, what the issue was, but still, I mean, since then, she's really
just kind of back burner.
Yeah. Back door. I don't know. Moving on. Liz is scared that Dembe will tell Red. That's really what she's worried about this episode, that he's going to tell him. And Dembe tells her, tell Red or I will. So the moment has come. We thought it was going to be this episode. It's not going to be this episode, but it's going to have to happen where she tells Red she turned him in or he will. And I still say Red's not going to do anything to Liz. So why not?
Yeah, I think that's true. And especially with the whole mask sequence and trying to figure out, is this the right thing I should be doing? Should I still be hanging out? Is my word my bond and all that stuff? I think this is a easy way for Dembe to say, look, I don't want any more killing to happen. So please, if you appreciate me in any way, shape or form and thank me for keeping your secret as long as I have, please spare my friends' lives by just making sure that you tell him the truth. So it's almost like a plea from Dembe to Liz in a way.
Yeah. And I hope she does it. I really hope he doesn't have to do it, because then it's going to affect him and Red's relationship. And I don't think it will ultimately. I don't believe that Red would ever hurt Dembe any more than it would ever hurt Liz. But then again, the whole Kaplan saga sure seemed like he would have. So who knows? Who knows what'll happen? I don't think he'll kill Dembe over this. I think he's just livid. And once he finds out it's Liz, he'll understand where Dembe's coming from.
Yeah.
But it also will put a test to how he feels about his loyalty.
And it'll put a test to whether or not this is all about, you know, Red just going ahead and exercising his own intentions and his own game, and Liz is just a pawn, or Liz is actually more than just a pawn.
So moving on to Dembe, he got an interesting arc this week. He is really suffering with his decisions. He doesn't like the way Red has been. He feels like he's been a little too heavy-handed. He's been too brash, too violent, too hard on those that he's questioning, quote-unquote, if you want to call it that, more like threatening. And Dembe has led by, he has a conversation, and we come to learn that he's led by blind faith, even when he doesn't like what he sees. I don't know. I mean, you've been basically torturing and killing people for years. So why is this much different than that? I have a hard time understanding that.
Well, because everything he was doing previously was for purpose. Red was taking care of people because it was all about protecting Liz in the end and doing what they needed to do to make sure Liz was safe.
No, I'm not letting that fly. He's been criminal underworld, gangster, the maestro of crime. What is it?
Concierge
of crime. Thank you. Concierge of crime. He's basically done awful things. We've seen him do awful things for selfish reasons, and Dembe has been there with him to help. You don't get a pass on that. Like, hey, I've just been on blind faith. He's doing it all for good reasons. Come on. He's done a lot of horrible things to people. Yes, I love Red too. Don't write in. But he's still a bad guy. He's a villain. And most of what he has done and he's commissioned Dembe to do has been selfishly motivated. It's not in the pursuit of doing good always. Recently, yes, but definitely not always.
Well, and he's talking to the Islamic religious leader, and he confessed that he's killed people. So I don't think he's necessarily saying that he's doing it, you know, blindly, that he understands that he has killed people himself. I think his challenge now is Red has switched from killing people who deserve it to killing people and they don't deserve it. And I think that's the thing that Dembe's struggling with.
Well, I would argue he's killed a lot of people. Are you saying they've all deserved it and he was always in the right? I don't know if I believe that.
Criminals are bad guys, right?
That's my point. Why is Dembe like saying, now he doesn't like what he sees and he doesn't think he can do this anymore? I don't quite get why this is much more drastic than anything else. He went through the whole Kaplan thing and that was much more vicious.
And he was distraught about that too.
But he also came to a degree.
He also came to an understanding of why it had to be done.
He did. That's from my point. Like, I don't understand. It just feels like a weird change, I guess, based on the character we know.
Well, because it's probably a tougher transition, because it's here, he's supposed to be protecting Liz.
But it works for you, is what I'm saying. It works for you.
I mean, I don't know if it works or doesn't work. I don't think that's really the challenge. I think the challenge comes to, if Dembe truly knows the secret, whatever the secret is, and his sole purpose is to protect Reddington, but his sole purpose is to also protect Liz, then I think there's an interesting dynamic here where you have to get to a point of, okay, do I say something before Liz gets killed? Does Liz say something before I get killed? Because we're all in this together because Red put us in this place. Where before, things are happening because it's just the nature of the job. But now that it's a personal situation, I think you have to re-examine everything in order to say, how do I get out of a personal situation to save my own ass, to save Liz's ass? There's a lot going on here that he's struggling with. I can understand his struggle and his plight.
Well, I guess if you put it there from the good points, if you put it in the perspective that this time he knows information and people are dying because he won't give that information, if that's the struggle, and I'm just assuming it's because of what Red's making him do or what Red is doing, but if it's more because he knows the truth and he just hasn't told them, so people are dying because he just can't explain, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
That makes more, I still think it's a bit of a reach, but it makes a lot more sense that it's weighing on his conscience because now it's a factor of he's not sharing the information, which is why he gives Liz a choice. Okay.
Yeah.
I can go with that.
Before it was Red's killing people. Dembe doesn't have any say in the situation. Here, Dembe knows something and Dembe could prevent it from happening. He just can't because of the loyalty, which he's also, right. His word is his bond. That's the deep internal struggle he's dealing with.
All right. See, this is what we talk about things. I can come around to another conclusion. Like, okay, all right. I can see that now. I can see it from that perspective.
That's why Dembe just needs to sit down with Red and just talk about it. He's not going to kill him.
No. And if he does, I riot.
Right.
Just letting you know. I will riot. I mean, people say that. I don't know what I would do. I would just, you know, I don't know, throw Cheetos at the TV screen or something. But I would be upset.
It would be a sad. It would be a mess.
My whole TV would just be full of Cheeto dust. Okay, we'll see how the choice works out. It's going to be happening soon. I did really like the very long discussion he has with the spiritual leader about why he does what he does and the reasons for such. I thought that was a really nice telling moment between us, the audience, and Dembe.
And I love, too, that it's not just like a standard religion, like a Catholicism or Christianity or anything. Like, they actually go from the Muslim perspective. I do love that, and that it gives a different point of view on things, because I think a lot of times TV plays it safe by going with the traditional Catholic or Protestant route when it comes to a religious representation.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to Red. He answers the door because Dembe is off meditating, and Red knows Marie. This leads to Red knows Marie, this torture device seller, and I'm kind of wondering, you think he knows her from Brimley?
Impossible.
Hmm.
But I like Marie. Marie could come back anytime. She's fun.
Yeah, she's fun. She says a lot of words and syllables, and they sound intelligent. I don't know what that means, but I'm going with it. I like her. Basically, this device that he's tracking turns out to be quite the collectible. Constitutio Criminalis Teresiana. I was so close, Aaron.
So close.
The criminal code of Maria Terestia, the Duchess of Austria, leads them to Noel Gehrig. Red hangs out with his daughter, has a really weird conversation about his penis, and once more, Troy, in case you didn't hear that, has a weird conversation about his penis.
Yep, I heard it.
Yeah, and then has a great bit zipping around a track, threatening Noel while Dom Toretto-ing around in circles. What did you think about this scene where he's basically torturing a guy in a race car and getting a little bit of a rush while he's doing it?
I was still trying to connect the Judas cradle and the penis. Like that, like those two images in my head for this episode, I gotta flush those out somehow.
That's how you stretch them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I thought Noel in the car was an interesting guy. Kind of flat a little bit, if you ask me. The sequence of Red driving, though, was super fun. Like, look, like he was having a good time telling his good old Red stories and giving us a little bit of a history lesson. I thought the scene itself was, I thought the daughter was actually more fun, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that was weird. Just so weird. I mean, and then pretty cool to see that she's in on it, and she didn't get busted, so she's still out there, by the way. So the Third Estate is still, I think, in play as an organization. They didn't bring them all down. They're still around.
Yeah, because it was only the people that were at the warehouse itself that got busted. So far.
Yeah, so far. I like this scene. I thought it was a lot of fun. The car whipping around and him threatening Noel in the car, I thought was pretty fun.
When it stops in front of Red, when he stands out in front of the car,
did
it look a little jerky to me?
It was fake. Yeah.
I thought it was like not as quite as good as it normally is. Normally when they do that, they actually, for the audience, they put the person standing there, then they park the car, and then they actually send the car in reverse to film it, and then that way they can get it to stop on a dime like that.
Which is what it looked like.
Yeah.
Because it looked pretty janky.
Yeah.
Can't nail everything, man. There's a lot of stuff you're doing, but they tried. I do want to point out a line I thought was very important while he's in the car. I haven't moved this fast since my first date with Jen Parsons at the roller park or whatever.
So Red likes to roller skate. What's your point? Everybody likes to roller skate.
With girls, because he's a guy. I mean, I don't know how many times they have to reference penises and dates with girls and when I was a boy, but I just want to point it out again. There's one more.
Okay.
To go against your Katarina theory.
Sure.
Or Red Arena theory, I should say.
Move along.
Aw. Because you realize it just... one more poke in the hole.
We'll just come back to it when we talk about Wrestler. It's fine.
Sure. You keep telling yourself that. Finds a man who got the kids to get the ransom to the most powerful man in the U.S. Why? We don't know. Why? Other than they're supposed to redistribute this money to...
people that need money.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Anna McMahon wasn't involved with them. We found out. We already talked about that. And now Red knows that she's a more formidable foe than expected. Also, he's aroused. Could be the red hair. Another reference to being in love with redheads.
Except that he had that expression to Liz when she was a blonde. So what were you trying to...
Yeah, but that was because she looked like her mother. So that's a facial thing.
But her mother has red hair.
Yeah, but... facially looked like her mom.
Okay. Just saying, they're just throwing stuff in here to throw stuff in here.
Yeah, kind of like what leads to wacky, nonsensical theories. All right, so he wants a meeting with Maxwell Rediger, and we're going to get that probably next week.
How can that guy, Red, I'm just saying, how can that guy turn you in? He's drunk all the time. He only likes explosives. He's sad about the fact that he didn't have a theater career. Like, this is not the guy that turned you in. Why do you want to meet with poor Maxwell?
Desperate. Absolutely desperate.
I mean, you're desperate. This is where it gets a little frustrating, because it's like, this is where you're just dragging this out to drag it out, because the only person that Red said, hey, do you want to go get a pretzel and a beer at this exact address? The only person he said that to was Liz. So just because Maxwell happened to be in New York, he's possibly the guy that, you know, ratted me out. No, the only person that you told you were going to be at that exact moment at that exact place was Liz.
Nikki just has blinders on. It couldn't possibly be her. Or do you think he just knows and he's trying to force Dembe to come clean?
But then why wipe out half of your team?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call.
So, I mean, unless he's making a point to Dembe, like, I'm wiping out the team and you're next, buddy, if you don't start speaking up.
Well, at some point, when is the point made? God, at some point you're running out of companions.
How many people have to fall out of an airplane before you understand it's gonna kill you?
Poor Smokey. All right, then our last character, he gets a serious arc this week.
I have to go back 136 episodes and see if we've ever had Wrestler as the last one.
That's probably when
maybe in Mako Tanita,
when he killed the what's her name.
Yep.
Wrestler finds Ted King. Very old guy. Poor, sad old guy. Destroys his life.
Completely.
Talk about that. Wrecks it.
So wrong.
I mean, he's going to put himself in hospice in the next week. So nice job, Wrestler. Good job. And also, his hair didn't move the entire time. Says his wife has been sick for some time. Cancer implies she's dead. So the implication is that she is dead. And do you believe that she's dead now?
She's dead. Yeah, I believe she died. Everything he said in this entire thing says she died of cancer.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Unless she secretly escaped from hospice, but seemed like she was pretty dead.
Anyone believes there's more to it, it'd be you.
I do not. I thought she was dead last week.
All right. Ted met Virginia in 1998. Love of his life. She said she was from St. Petersburg, split from her husband in her 40s until 8 years ago when he found a photograph. The only photograph of her daughter. Because originally what happened, I'm going to shortcut it. Because originally when he talks to Ted King, he says, no, she doesn't have a daughter. And then he calls him back and says, I lied. I forgot. My bad. She had a daughter. I got a whole photograph thing going on.
Well, he's an older gentleman. You know, it takes him a little while to process. And, oh, yeah, there was that thing I found about 8 weeks ago.
8 years ago.
Right.
Where my I came clean with my wife actually having a daughter. Seems like I would have clicked. But also, you're here to destroy my life. So I don't care if it bothers you. And he shares the only photo of her daughter, which I do want to point out. When you look at that picture, that doesn't look like Katerina at all.
Well, it's Katerina as the baby and Virginia as the...
Oh, it's the only picture I have. Okay.
Oh, it's the picture I have of my wife with her baby.
Thank God. I thought, well, see, when I saw it, I'm like, is that supposed to be Katerina with Masha? Because it doesn't look like Katerina at all. And we've seen her many times. We know she'll still do coming up episodes. So, okay. My bad. I got to stop watching this after I'm tired.
Well, let's talk about photos for a minute, because nothing is done.
Shouldn't there have been a big bright light behind her when they took that picture? Maybe that would have made more sense. Then I would have said, oh, now I know who it is.
Well, it's funny that you say the bright light thing, because they show the mantle, or what was like looked like a fireplace mantle, and there were two pictures there. There was Virginia and this guy, Ted, and then There was another picture with Virginia with a bicycle. And the picture with Virginia and the bicycle, that one was made to look very similar in setting to the tree with a swing picture that we have in Red's apartment.
It was. It was very reminiscent, yes.
So I'm like, so in the picture in Red's apartment, is it really Virginia and Katerina and not Katerina and Liz? But I'm trying to remember, I thought back in that, they specifically said that photo was of Liz. But I just thought that was interesting. I'm like, maybe it was, they told Liz and it was a lie because they wanted Liz to understand something, but maybe that picture is really of Katerina and her mom.
It's very possible. We don't know the answer to that, but hopefully we'll get one in 2 to 3 years.
Or it was just establishing this is who Virginia was with Ted. And we're just reading into stuff again.
It could be.
But they showed it twice. So that's why I was like, huh, maybe we should pay attention to that. I don't know.
I think it's always important when you get background information on a character that we haven't seen before, and it's a prominent character. So their falling out was her greatest regret. Okay. Yep. Virginia wrote a letter, and when she was in hospice, asked him to mail it. So she gave him the letter, and the address was a P.O. box in upstate New York. The P.O. box led to box 642. Those numbers mean anything, Mr. Lost?
Didn't seem to put anything together for me now.
Okay. And on February 13th, that mean anything?
Nope.
Okay. Led to a Tracy Ivers. But Tracy Ivers isn't the one who picked up the letter. A man picked up the letter, thanks to video surveillance that Russer tracked down and completely ignored Liz and didn't tell her like what he was doing. And she's over there like, well, who are you on the phone with? Oh, no, I'm just following up, please. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for my Stitch Fix to show up, and I wanted to make sure it was there.
Nothing to see here. Calling my Ram, the cable guy. And it turns out that the man who picked it up was Dom. What? Shocker. Surprised? I was surprised.
I was hoping, I was at first thinking it was going to be Red or Dembe.
I thought it was going to be Red. And then I was like, please don't. I don't need this today. And no, Dom. So what do you feel about this?
I feel.
Is Dom Virginia? Just checking.
Oh my gosh. You're just saying that because you really like that one thread on what was it, on Facebook?
Is Virginia, is Dom? Dom is Virginia? What? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He's so mean. He's so mean.
Now it all makes sense. It's all coming together. No, what'd you think about Dom picking letter up? Obviously, they were still connected after all those years.
And there's a reason why they're all connected, because Katerina is still in the picture somehow, some way. She is not D-E-A-D dead.
What a great... doesn't it feel like they're not even toying with the idea she is anymore?
I don't think she ever was to begin with.
No, I get that. And I think everybody that watches this show feels that way too. But in the show, in the world of the show, she is. By almost every account, up until this season... where it seems like everybody seems to no longer think that anymore.
Well, I think everybody else is in on it. I think Liz and Red had a conversation. You said, wait, you said my mom died. Like, did you lie to me? And he's like, well, she went in the ocean and was never found. So I think earlier in the show, the audience and even Red and Liz are kind of like, oh, maybe she's not dead. And then you get the whole painting thing, and then you get the file and whatever in season 3. So I think Liz and Red have specifically known that she might be possibly alive. But I think the rest of it, they're just like, now they're throwing caution to the wind. Like, dude, she's around. We just don't know where she is or who she is.
Exactly. Maybe she's already in the picture and we don't even know it yet. Maybe Wrestler accidentally killed her that one season. He's like, oh, you were Katarina the whole time? I didn't know. My bad. Just kidding. That's not who it was. So what are you expecting from Dom? By the way, I'm so glad Dom is back. I love Dom.
Well, I'm trying to think of how this plays out now. So does Wrestler go to Liz and say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I kind of did this stuff behind your back, but I found this guy. And then Liz is going to be like, hey, I know that guy. I went and talked to that guy. Or is it going to be more along the lines of the whole truth actually does come out in the next 2-hour episode next week? And they all have
is
a nice
next week a 2-hour?
Next week's the 2-hour.
Oh,
so exciting.
Mm.
Can't get here soon enough.
That's gonna be interesting.
So yes, so it'd be interesting to see how does Liz and Dom interact? Does if that were to happen again, is it because she knows the answer, or is it because she's going to do the investigative work of, hey, why did you go to this PO box, and how do you know Virginia, and blah 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 blah. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I'm just glad Brian Dunning is coming back.
I know.
So excited. I love Brian Dunning. You do first blood.
With his Jeep Wagoneer in the driveway.
Oh, I'm a huge first blood fan. Okay. So anything else from this episode that we missed? I mean, I really don't feel like there was a lot, but there was still a lot. There's a lot to queue up.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of subtext, I think, in the last couple of episodes, setting something up for a big reveal.
Because we're coming up on the final stretch, man. How many episodes do we have left? We've only got like 4?
Well, it'll be 18, 19 next week, and then it'll be 20, 21, 22. So yeah, 4 weeks.
Five, 4 weeks, yeah. Five episodes, 4 weeks.
4 weeks, yep. It's a lot of Blacklist.
What do you want? What do you want from here? You've got 4 weeks left, right? Which is the home stretch. What do you hope to see by the final frame?
By the season finale, I want to know the answer. I want to know what is the relationship between Red and Liz. This is the season you have to give it, because you didn't give anything at the freaking suicide
death row.
You didn't give anything at the freaking execution. So now you got to at least give me the answer, and then spend season 7 explaining the answer is my humble opinion.
Okay.
It's like that one show with that island, and how like season 3, they like kind of switched the game up because they were actually going to leave the island. And then, yeah, I want something like that at the end of the season.
Okay. I'm with you. I 100% agree. We got to get something. The tantalizing and temptations and everything else. We got to have a little more meat on the plate. I feel like we need more meat, a little less misdirection.
Yeah, because if we go misdirection for another 22 episodes in season 7, I think you lose the audience completely.
It definitely is. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. Yeah. So we need to. I feel like we've gotten a lot more misdirection this episode or this season than typical, and I would like that course correction.
Yeah.
They always end strong. Like, I have never had a season of Blacklist where they did not end on a high note. So I have no doubt that that'll happen. I'm just saying this season has had me probably more frustrated than any other season prior.
Yes.
To be honest, to be fair.
Maybe not as much as the first half of season 4, but.
Well, before, like, man, but that second half, fantastic.
Oh, yeah, with the Kaplan stuff?
I almost don't even care about the first half. I'll just skip through it. Skip right to it. Then season 5, you kill Tom. Highlight. Whole show. Love it.
And then you had Ruin, and then you had Liz dragging
the
trackster down the driveway next to your car. Like, all that stuff is great.
Yeah. And there's been some highlights here. I just feel like there's been more misdirection than
typical.
Growth. Yeah. Than growth. But I do like Wrestler here. I'm liking what Wrestler's doing, except he's really putting his own life on the line.
Yeah. But he has a contract, so hopefully he sticks around.
Well, maybe it's only for one episode. You don't know. Maybe it's a flashback where he just like, here's Wrestler explaining what he did the day he died.
Or Red shoots Wrestler cut to black, and you don't actually see if he gets the bullet or not. And then you come back in the first episode and you get the bullet.
And it was all a dream. All right. I'll take a quick second to say thank you to all of those that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's Patreon, patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. Interviews are posted there, as well as the panel from C2EG is on there. Our After the Panel special is on there. And if we hit $500 a month, we will bring back the Blacklist Exposed apps. And if you can make it, happen to hit that 1,000 a month in support, we will do the show live on camera. Plus, there's the potential for New York down the road.
Yes, yes. That'd be fun. Every bit of support helps. Want to thank Doug as our official blacklister. He actually gets his own blacklist number. So if you want that, that's at the $50 level. Also, our syndicate members, Marilyn and Lacey. They actually get a call with me once a month with Doug. That's a lot of fun. We just talk about life in general and how the blacklist applies and all that fun stuff. Plus, then we have Leonie, Brandon, Jim, Lorelei, Carol, Stacy, and Florian. All those guys get cool blacklist exposed t-shirts. So you can score one of those for yourself as well.
Excellent. Also, shout out to Lisa, Kevin, Paulette, Priscilla, Isabel, Richard, Nell, James, Judy, Rachel, Tony, and Sharon for being amazing special agents for supporting us and the podcast.
Again, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Fill the fedora, get some awesome rewards for yourself. And with that, for the first time this season, we'll be back with Red's Rhetoric right after this.
Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And we host the Star Trek Discovery Podcast, part of the Golden Spiral Media Network.
Every week, we break down each new episode of Star Trek Discovery.
We analyze what happened, what we think will happen, and how the show fits and doesn't fit into Star Trek canon.
You can find us at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com and subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast app of your choice.
Live long and prosper.
Hi, it's Megan Boone, and you're listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we feature two great scenes from Red himself. When you get to vote over on our website over at theblacklistexposed.com for your favorite of the episode. First this week, Red chats up a delightful young lady about the male anatomy.
I'm Steve Holman, and you are...
Bored to tears. Tell me, why is it that men your age feel the need to compensate for an increasingly flaccid penis? It's only natural.
So is cholera. I do hope you're not the poor man's girlfriend.
Don't be perverse. I'm much too old to be his girlfriend. I'm his daughter.
Well, aren't you being a good sport?
You shouldn't go out there.
Men my age don't compensate. We do what we want. Youth compensates. With disrespect and poor taste.
Mister, you gotta move.
Let's say he's doing about 100. The stopping distance will be around 600 feet. A flaccid old man could never think that fast. Perhaps your father has a bit more pep in his step than you think.
You're trying to get yourself killed? What the?
Scoot over, Noel. I'm driving.
Secondly, Red gives us a history lesson about Marie Antoinette.
I suspect you have an interest in history, Noel. Did you know shortly before her date with the guillotine, Marie Antoinette had a chance to escape from France? But she just couldn't bear to travel like a commoner. She insisted on a rosewood carriage lined in ivory, large enough for herself, three chambermaids, four footmen, and all of their luggage. The finished product was so decadent, it could only go about 2 miles per hour before breaking down altogether. Just imagine if this had been her getaway car. She could have settled in London and eaten cake for the next 50 years. Good God, I haven't moved this fast since my first date with Jen Parsons at the roller rink.
Did you like my French there, Aaron?
Yeah. Oui, oui.
Which was your favorite? If you don't compensate and you do what you want, vote Red Flaccid. I figured Aaron would like that one.
I'm voting for that one.
Or if you would have loved to see Marie behind the wheel of a Mercedes, vote hashtag Red History.
Awesome. All right, now let's move on to Special Agent Intel. Dennis, let's call you Dennis T. Says, shut up, John Boy. Richard Thomas, guest of the episode. Yeah, I guess. That's true. I guess he should have shut it up.
Yeah, he was not really giving out some good advice.
No, not at all.
Bianca said, okay, there is no way Red doesn't know what Dembe and Liz are hiding. Mm. No question. And I totally thought they were going to show Red picking up that letter just to screw with the audience.
I don't agree with no way. I do believe there's definitely a way. It's possible, though.
He's got to know. He's got to know.
Well, you just said earlier he can't know.
Well, he can know that Liz did it.
Oh, he just can't know that Dembe did it.
Right.
Because even then, would he still be killing his own people? You made a good argument. Now you're just like pooping all over it.
I don't know.
God, you can't even commit to one idea except for that one. Wendy Davies, I think Red knows it, Liz. Again, he told Dembe he could walk away if he wanted to. He's giving him an out. Glad Dembe told Liz to tell Red, but she ultimately seems unmoved by it all. I hope Red grounds her, and no pocket money for a month. Okay. Alrighty.
Tatiana said, oh, but can I just say, how the hell did Wrestler get from the post office to St. Charles, Illinois in like 30 minutes? Twice in one day. He must have his own personal plane.
I can make that case. I used to travel for 8 years. I did regional sales, and I can tell you, you can do it.
But you can't get from O'Hare to St. Charles in 30 minutes with traffic.
Depends on the time of day. But you could get there and back in a day, no problem. And, you know, do a quick jaunt, a couple hours. How far is St. Charles? I'm trying to think.
From the airport?
45 minutes? Yeah, 45 minutes from the airport.
45, 50, yeah.
You can do it. It can be done. It's pushing it, but it's TV time. Look, if we can accept 24, we can let this slide.
Agree.
Okay. Because in case you didn't know it, he got around L.A. in impossible amounts of time. And we've been to L.A., no, you can't. No, you can't.
And at least on the plane, Wrestler would have had a bathroom. Jack never had a bathroom.
That's true. That poor guy. He's got so many bladder infections. Monica, I've always believed that Red is 10 steps ahead of everyone. He knows that Liz conspired to turn him in. He's just letting her sweat it out. He's torturing Dembe because he kept a vital secret from him. I won't be surprised if he set his sights on Wrestler because he knows something's up with him. And when he does that, Liz will have to come clean. Red will be mad, the task force will be in shambles, Liz might have to leave town, and McMahon is busy screwing the USA, but it could be wrong.
I kind of like that idea. Like Wrestler, because he knows that Wrestler knows something, Wrestler's doing this investigation into Virginia, now into Dom, and because of that, he's like, well, Wrestler obviously knows a lot more, so maybe Wrestler turned me in, and Liz has to come clean to save Wrestler.
I will tell you what I'm worried about. You want to know what I'm worried about? That's a question.
Sure. I'm Your life is so important. I absolutely want to know what you're worried about.
Shut up. All right. So I'm worried that Liz isn't going to tell Red in the next episode. Dembe's not going to tell Red. They're still sweating it out. See who's going to go first. Wrestler's going to talk to Dom. Dom's going to tell Red that Wrestler came to see him. Then Red already knows that Wrestler, or already thinks that Wrestler knows his secret. Then he's going to think Wrestler's the one that turned him in.
Got it. It's a good way to do it.
Okay. Good way to do it. Last one.
Sophie said, I find it a bit silly that Anna McMahon has time to physically attend meetings at the post office and be present during operations. She did have a full-time job before adding the task force to her responsibilities. Oh, well, TV, I guess. Liz does need to tell Red now since they keep bringing it up and needs a resolve one way or another. And soon.
I just think Anna McMahon is dedicated to her job. All of them.
And I will leave you with this point that Red did say in this episode again, your government. And he was talking to Liz at the start of the show.
Well, that would work if he's Katarina's brother. Or gay lover. Can't or be, bisexual
it,
lover.
It can't be Katarina's brother because Dom would have family left. And Dom's like, I don't have any family left.
Not necessarily. But he definitely could be bisexual lover. Posed as that gay man, you know, before. Could be that.
That theory I will buy into more than Katarina's brother.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
We will. 2 hours
because
next week.
I want to know what you feel like, Troy, because your life is important to me. Yes, 2 hours next week.
I feel like this didn't put... I mean, everybody was like, oh, yeah, the Katarina, the Red Arena theory is dead because mom's alive and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nope, she's not alive. And then Dom's picture is at the end. So Dom's involved in the whole situation, which is Katarina's dad. So, yeah, I don't think the Katarina theory, the Red Arena theory is dead at all.
If we see Katarina, it's
if you
dead.
See Katarina in the present, that is the only way that the theory will be dead.
Or after Red has emerged. If you see a flashback and you see.
Yeah, if you see post-October 1991 mm-hmm. with a Red and Katarina at the same time. Then that would also kill
just Katarina. Anything just Katarina would be fine, right?
Oh, yeah, I suppose, yeah. If you see Katarina post-October of 1991. Yes.
See? So keep your eyes open. Keep I think we might get some. And then it's going to be a sad day because we might not even have a podcast that week because Troy will be inconsolable.
Oh, They're dead.
Well, that's going to conclude this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at BlacklistGSM when we live tweet during the East Coast feed when possible. Not always possible, when possible. And we use the show's hashtag TheBlacklist. Probably won't be able to do it during the 2 hour because we're going to be too busy trying to keep notes and stuff.
Yeah, and rewatching and rewinding and all that fun stuff.
2 hours are a lot harder for a podcast standpoint because we try to do a quick turnaround on the show. And so just so you know.
I will let you know, just to close up on the previous point, I had a lot of people call me at the end of season 4 and they were like, yeah, so Troy, how do you feel now that your theory's dead? Because it was found out with the DNA test that Red was the dad. And I'm like, you guys don't watch the show. Like, I did not pick up on that at all.
Well, but I would make the argument. Sometimes I think you don't watch the show based on the fact that you're still on this, but you know, teach their own. Okay, I've got so many holes I can poke into it, but whatever. Hey. Not this week. Not this week. Not doing it this week.
All right. We
know he dated Jen. Definitely not a mutually, and it's not a gender open name. That's a lady.
Hey, you never know.
Hi, my name's Jen.
That never happened.
Oh my gosh. Stop you while you're ahead. Follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, all the usual places. It's a lot of fun. Lots of good conversation. So talk about the show, the podcast, or your historical torture equipment of choice.
Big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Will Red find out who turned him in?
God, I hope so.
It better. Troy's going to go ballistic.
I'd love it to just, like, the entire sixth season ends next week with the 2 hour, and then the last three episodes of the season are the setup for 7. I think that would be a good cadence.
Interesting. They would never do that, though, would they? How would you do that?
No, because I know who the last blacklisters are, and I can't tell you.
Yeah. Don't tell me. All right, guys. Take care.
All right. See you. Bye.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.